Okay, we're in the season of Father's Day, and I want to speak on the father and the bride today. Who is more beautiful than the bride dressed up in her wedding gown? Or who loves the bride any more than the bridegroom? And upon whom is the bride's love and desire fixed? Now this is Father's Day. Why would we talk about a bride on such a day as this? And what does a father and a bride have in common? Well, we'll answer all these questions in our message today. In John chapter 3, 28 to 30, we read, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him." And that was John the Baptist talking. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy is therefore fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Now, a dispute arose among the Jews and John's disciples over purification and baptism. They came to John and questioned him, and so John answered them and taught a very important lesson. He taught about the bride and a bridegroom, and note what he said. He said, "I am not the Christ, he is," pointing to Jesus that was with them. "And he's the bridegroom, but I'm rejoicing greatly because I'm the friend of the bridegroom. He's more important than I am, and therefore I must exalt him." Now, who's the bridegroom? And John made it very clear, it is Christ. He's the bridegroom. Who's the bride? And John didn't answer that, but Scripture tells us who he is elsewhere. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27, we read this. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water with the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And then verses 31 to 32 say, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, who is the bride? It's the believer. It's the Christian, the one who's received Christ as their personal Savior. And men, we are not only fathers, we are the bride of Christ, or at least part of it. If we are going to be the fathers we should be, and the example we should be to our children, and the husband we should be to our wife, it is important that we realize the significance of this relationship. So first of all, we've been chosen. What man picks the girl he wants to marry by going eeny, meeny, miny, moe? No, he becomes very selective, and from among many, many girls, he chooses one of them that he believes Christ wants him to have, and then he asks her to marry him. and she may not be as beautiful and talented as some others are, but she is beautiful to him and just who he wants for a wife. And that's a beautiful picture. God set his love upon us and invited us to become his bride, the bride of Christ, the church. It wasn't because we were handsome or flawless, but just the opposite. Scripture tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners." And then secondly, not only have we been chosen, but we have a choice to make. The girl who is proposed to him has a choice to make. Will she accept his proposal or not? Does she want to belong to him for life or not? She can either accept his proposal or reject it. And we have been invited to belong to Christ, the bridegroom. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me." And in John 1:12 it says, "Receive him." Now we have a choice to make. We either accept his invitation or reject it. And whosoever accepts it and says yes to him becomes a child of God and becomes part of the bride of Christ, which is the true church. Thirdly, we've been purchased. In Bible days, when the agreement was made for a young lady to become the wife of a young man, he paid a price, which was a dowry for her. The amount, of course, depended upon the financial ability of the bridegroom. We have been purchased with a price in order that we might belong to the bridegroom. This price is far greater than what any earthly bridegroom ever paid for his bride. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read this: "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, realizing that such a great price was paid that we might belong to him, ought to move us to love him more than anything else in the world, and anything in the world. To realize that Christ went to the cross and died there for our sin. So fathers, if we are going to be the husbands we should be to our wives, or the father we should be to our children, or the grandfather we should be to our grandchildren, Jesus Christ must be loved supremely in our lives. And then fourthly, we should adore him. We should adore him. What would we think of the bride who, though belonging to her bridegroom, loves someone else more, or constantly had thoughts of someone other than her husband, or desired to be with someone else more than she did her husband, or spent more time talking to another man than she did to her husband, or went places with someone other than her husband? They would be disloyal and unloving and unfaithful, wouldn't they? No, It is the bridegroom that she loves to be with and to talk to and loves to listen to and loves to do things with and go places with. It is the bridegroom who fills her thoughts and her desires and has first place in her life. Notice again what John said in John 3, 29 to 30. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, John wasn't the bride. The bride didn't begin until Pentecost. He was just the friend of the bridegroom, Christ. But notice how he rejoiced in the presence of the bridegroom. What a happy occasion a wedding is. Guests are happy for the bride and the groom. There is laughter and congratulations, and there is hugging and kisses and tears of joy. But who is the happiest? Who loves the bridegroom the most? Who is enthralled with the bridegroom the most? It's the bride. So it is with Christ, our bridegroom. He is the one who should fill our thoughts. We should desire to talk to and listen to. And he is the one who we should fellowship with and follow and talk about. And he is the one who should have first place in our lives. He should be the most important person in our lives. And like verse 30 said, he must increase and self must decrease. His reputation must increase and our reputation must decrease. And his plan and program and work must increase, but our earthly plans and decisions and programs must decrease. Men, if we are going to be the husbands we should be to our wives, and if we are going to be the fathers we should be to our children, and if we are going to be the leader we should be and the example we should be, our heavenly bridegroom, Christ, must have first place in our lives. He must be our all in all, and he must be Lord of our life, and he must be preeminent in our life. The story was told that many years ago, a farmer had an unusually fine crop of grain. And just a few days before it was ready to harvest, there was a terrible hail and windstorm. The entire crop was ruined. And after the storm was over, the farmer and his little son went out on the porch. The little boy looked at what was formerly the beautiful field of wheat. And then with tears in his eyes, he looked up at his dad, expecting to hear words of despair. All at once, his father started to sing softly, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And years later, the little boy who was then grown to manhood said this, or made this statement, "That was the greatest sermon I ever heard." You see, that farmer lost a grain crop, but who knows but that was the turning point in the boy's life. He saw the faith of a godly father in practice. Though this was a particular example, our children and grandchildren need to see such love and faith displayed in our lives. They need to see that Christ means more than anything else in our life, and that our love and our greatest desire is for Him, and that He has first place in our life. And no matter what happens in the world, we're trusting in Christ to take care of us and to watch over us. So that's what a great father is, one who loves his wife and loves his children and grandchildren, but greatest of all, loves the Lord, and the Lord has first place in his life. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we could look into your word. We thank you for this Father's Day season, and we thank you for the privilege of looking at what the scripture says and what makes a very good, important father. And so, Father, I pray that each of us that hear this might not only know Jesus Christ as our Savior, but that He might be the Lord of our life. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.